we see that they come stronger out of this withdrawal process. So, and I think that's extremely interesting also to see that patients said, I was so afraid to get a mild headache, and now I notice that sometimes this mild headache doesn't go into a full-blown migraine attack, but it just diminished after 1 hour, and I don't need this medication. I feel more in control of my own attacks. That's also a very powerful mechanism that's going on during this withdrawal process.
Have you ever considered whether your migraine attacks are due to the medication you are using? Many people with medication overuse headache don't even know they have it, but it could be the case if you are suffering with daily migraine attacks that start in the early morning. One study found that a majority of all patients visiting a headache clinic have medication overuse headache. Dr. Gisela Terwindt is joining us today to talk about better treatment options and how to break the cycle for those living with medication overuse headache. Dr. Terwindt, welcome to the Migraine World Summit.
Thank you, and thank you for the invitation. I'm happy to join you today.
Great, we're so happy to have you. Thank you. Well, let's just start with, what is medication overuse headache?
Yeah, I think that's a very important question. And I always start with explaining to people that there are two types of headaches. So in the classification system of headache disorders that we use in our clinical practice, we decided to divide people in those who have a primary form of headache, for instance, migraine, tension type headache, cluster headache. So for this, the causes are partly known, but it's intrinsic. It's an intrinsic problem of yourself. For instance, you are genetically more prone to have migraine, for instance. So that's what we call primary headache disorders. And the other types of headache disorders, we call that secondary headache disorders. So you, for instance, when you have a flu and the flu gets more severe and you get meningitis, you get also headaches. So there's a secondary headache caused by an infection. Or for instance, when you get a severe stroke and you get a headache, it's a secondary headache. And medication overuse headache is also a form of a secondary headache, and it's caused by taking too much medication. So with this, it's not blaming people, because sometimes people think, oh, medication overuse headache, it's my fault that I have this headache. No, that's not what we're trying to do with this classification system. We're just trying to see that there is a cause for these secondary headaches, and that's the overuse of acute pain medication. And often these two types of headaches, for instance, migraine and medication overuse, a headache goes hand in hand, because people take medication because they suffer from a primary headache disorder. They have severe migraine attacks that are frequently becoming more and more severe. There is much more need to take acute pain medication. And with it, people end up in a kind of vicious circle where they have, there's a need for medication, which helps in the beginning their migraine, but in the end, the medication itself also provokes headache, because when you're not taking this medication, for instance, when you wake up in the morning and you did not take your pain medication yet, the headache that you might experience is caused by the absence of the intake of the pain medication.
Are there a certain number of days per month you need to have headache for it to be classified potentially as medication overuse?
We have set some guidelines when we think this overuse might be a real problem. So it's not when you take one paracetamol or one triptan once a week, then you will not develop medication overuse headache. So for a medication overuse, when you take a triptan, we decided that if you take 10 days per month a triptan or more, then a medication overuse headache might be a problem. And for normal painkillers, it's 15 days per month. And if you combine this kind of medication, again, 10 days per month or more, then you're above the level where we think that medication overuse headache might be a problem.
Okay. And does it also matter how many actual headache days that you're recording per month? Like, does it line up with chronic migraine, for instance?
Yeah, so of course, if you take on a daily basis painkillers and you don't experience headache, then you have not a medication overuse headache by definition, because it's not a problem for you. And interestingly, there are people with other pain conditions who take each day a painkiller but do not develop a headache. So then there is of course no medication, no use headache. The problem is that people with an underlying primary headache disorder like migraine are more vulnerable to develop this medication overuse headache. So it's often a combination. And in migraine, for instance, it's often a combination of having chronic migraine, which is defined with at least 15 headache days per month, of which 8 are fulfilling the migraine criteria. And this goes hand in hand with this medication overuse headache, where also people have most of the time more than 15 days per month of headache. And in practice, you see that many of these people experience 20 or even more headache days per month. So it's a great burden for patients who suffer from this type of headaches.
Yeah, absolutely. And hard to separate probably if it is truly medication overuse headache or chronic migraine or even something else. And I'd like to come back to this actually. Before we do, can you tell me, is there a term that you prefer perhaps more so than medication overuse headache? Like you said, that sometimes can feel like it's blaming the patient.
I think the term medication overuse headache is quite clear, but because there is overuse. And I think we should use this term and explain to our patients that we're not blaming them at all. And trying to find another term, I think, is not very helpful, because it's also, as a doctor, I always also think that being clear in the definition and what you mean or what's the problem that's going on is very important. And with that, you can explain to your patients, it's very logical actually that when your migraine progresses and progresses, you are in more need of medication. And with that, you get in its visual circle and then you get medication overuse headache. But it's not the case that you caused it by yourself because you're just having fun and you wanted to take a painkiller. Nobody, I've never seen a patient with migraine who takes a painkiller or a triptan just for fun.
No, well, I think that's a very good distinction, and I definitely understand what you're saying. Well, for the simplicity, I think just for simplicity during this discussion, I'm going to refer to it by the abbreviation MOH, just to kind of keep things simple. But we certainly understand there's no blame involved, and it's just to be specific. Well, why is there a debate about MOH among clinicians and researchers? And I know that you've actually done some work into this yourself.
Yeah, I think one of the problems I have actually is with this distinction between primary and secondary headache, because in the primary headaches, we also decided that there is a form of migraine which we call episodic migraine, which is less frequent, and chronic migraine, which is more frequent. But in clinical practice, we see our chronic migraine patients, and I would say 90% of the patients who come for the first time to a clinic with chronic migraine, they also have MOH. So it is not a very distinct entity, actually. It's one problem within the patient. What I find very difficult in the research on MOH is actually that sometimes it's not very there's not a good distinction made between the underlying primary headache disorder. So for instance, MOH in a patient with tension type headache might need another approach than MOH in a patient with underlying migraine. And I think we should be very clear and much more clearer in the discussion on MOH in that part, also to understand more about the pathophysiological mechanisms underlying MOH. And for one thing, I'm sure that we know much more about the pathophysiology of migraine and the chronification of migraine than we know about the chronification of tension type headache. Tension type headache is a really extremely difficult headache syndrome, which we neglected for a very long time. And mixing tension type headache and migraine under the umbrella of MOH, I think it's quite difficult to understand actually what's going on.
So we still have a lot of work to do, it sounds like, too. And well, thank you for the work that you've done thus far. Well, I just want to actually dive right in. Let's to get to kind of the punchline and really talk about the medications and treatments that do not cause MOH. Can you please spend a little time and walk us through them?
In my opinion, I think Many of the medication that we are currently using for the acute phase of the migraine, for instance, they all cause medication overuse headache. So I'm not convinced that there are medication currently that we're using in clinical practice that are not doing that. So painkillers, NSAIDs, triptans, ergotamines, opioids, they all will cause medication overuse headache. It might be that in the future we will have a new kind of medication which is coming up and is, I think, already available in some countries, which are called the GPANs, which are more related to a specific protein CGRP. And the new thing about this kind of medication is that there seems to be a claim that these kind of medication will not cause medication overuse headache, because there can be used both as preventive and acute treatment, which would be, of course, great. But so far, we are not, at least in Holland, we don't have this kind of medication available as acute medication for migraine available. So far, we still have to deal with a lot of medication that still are able to cause medication overuse when used in the wrong way and too often.
Okay. And also DITANs.
Yeah. So both the GPANs, which are working on the CGRP, and the DITANs, which are aiming for the serotonin 1F receptor, they are now brought into clinical practice with the idea that these medication will not lead to medication overuse headache. But we should be aware that in worldwide, these medication are not available in many countries yet. But they are potentially very interesting, especially for those who had medication overuse and are resolved again in the more less frequent types of migraine or tension type headache. For tension type headache, this kind of medication doesn't work, but for migraine it does. It has been proven to work. So it could be good alternatives for people who previously had medication overuse headache. Yes.
Okay. So in the pipeline in many countries, but hopefully coming soon. I know in the United States, we are fortunate that we do have some of these medications available now to use.
Yeah.
What about devices? I guess that could be another kind of class of treatment that would be available that does not result in MOH, obviously.
Yeah, so we're talking about neuromodulation devices. I think a lot of research has to be done yet to show whether these kind of treatments are useful for the common migraine patients, but especially for those who suffer from medication overuse headache. Yeah, and especially these neuromodulation devices are extremely interesting also from the point of view, from the pathophysiological point of view, because we think that when a migraine patient develops chronic migraine and medication overuse headache, we think that there are processes going on in the brain which we call central sensitization, which mean that apart from the mechanisms that are playing a role during the migraine attack, also deeper structures in the brain and connectivity between brain regions are influenced by this chronification process. And that's what we call sensitization of the brain. And it could well be that especially neuromodulation can be important to bring the sensitization back to the normal state of the brain. And that's why I think this kind of new treatment options are extremely interesting, especially for those who suffer from medication overuse headache.
That's great. Yes, I thought it was really interesting what you said earlier, that other people with pain conditions don't necessarily go into MOH. It could be something to do with our brains, those with migraine, or this, like the sensitization that you mentioned.
Also, I think we should be aware that if, because I've learned it actually from my mother, but my mother, if she takes a painkiller for another condition, she's not a headache sufferer, she has, as a side effect, she reports headache. And with that, she stops the painkiller. So she never takes painkillers. But if you are a headache patient, and this painkiller actually works for your migraine, but it gives you just a slight headache as a side effect, you accept that as a headache patient, of course. So I think one of the most simple reasoning why people with other pain conditions do not develop headaches because they take this medication, they sense this headache as a side effect immediately, and they stop the medication. Whereas in a migraine patient, you are so happy that you lost your migraine, you accept this mild headache that remains, which is actually might be a side effect. So with that, you might go into this vicious cycle of using this medication often and more and more and more. So I think there could be a very simple explanation why migraine patients accept also medication overuse headache, because we as a patient, you are so happy that you get rid of these migraine, severe migraine attacks. You accept this other headache as side effect.
I can personally relate to that 100%. I lived with a very low grade headache for a couple of, many years actually. So I think that could be related, but that low grade headache allowed me to function, right? So before I finish up on the treatments that don't cause MOH, what about preventatives too? I know that might be the optimal solution, is to get on the right preventive, to keep MOH from developing or to stop it. What are some of the preventives that you recommend that would definitely not lead to MOH?
Okay, I think the very simple answer is there is none of the preventive medication will lead to MOH. The problem is when you have MOH, what should you do? So, and this is a large international debate going on, because in the Netherlands, we're used when a patient comes to us with MOH, we say to this patient, you should stop the medication first. So you have to withdraw from the medication acutely. So it's a kind of cold turkey method. Many people in the Netherlands, although they might be reluctant at the first sight, they are very willing to try this. And they are very, and I noticed that very many migraine patients are very strong actually, and are very well in control, try to get into control of their own attacks again. So they are willing to try this, and they are able to withdraw from this acute medication without any other support. And the only support that we provide them is we give them guidance with our headache nurse. And this can be discussing with them how could they cope with this migraine attack. So it's a kind of behavioral intervention on a short notice. And we also showed in our studies that this short behavioral intervention by our headache nurse is very effective to make people stronger to be able to withdraw from this medication. And so we do not start preventive medication during this withdrawal process, because we did a study in the Netherlands where we had a randomized controlled blinded trial where all patients were withdrawn from the medication. Half of them received Botox and the other half didn't receive the Botox, but just the placebo. And finally, we found no differences between those groups. So the withdrawal itself was so effective that there was no additional effect of the Botox supplementing to this withdrawal process. And we published this paper, but there was many people from other countries were very reluctant to accept this finding, because they said it's not what they call a patient-centered approach. You need to provide people with preventives before starting the withdrawal process. And although I understand the logical reasoning behind it as well, I think it's very good to have a strong debate whether withdrawal alone, starting a preventive medication, starting behavior therapy, what would be the best approach for the patients on a national but also on an international level? And that's the strong debate that is currently going on and which is not resolved yet, but that's for those people who are already experienced medication overuse headache. That's a different approach than when a patient comes to my clinic. I always warn already for medication overuse headache, and that's why we start, as many other doctors, very early in the process already preventive medication. So I also noticed that many patients say to me, I want to take acute medication during the attacks, but I don't want to take on a daily basis preventive medication because I don't want to feel a patient all the time. And then you have to explain very carefully to your patients that taking preventives is also very important to have better control on the attacks, not only the frequency, but also the duration and the severity of the attacks, to prevent this medication overuse headache.
Okay, so just to kind of back up for just a second, it sounds like that there's still some debate about whether you're going to immediately put somebody on a preventive if you're also trying to get them out of MOH. And probably people differ in their opinion on what to do in different countries. But of course, preventive might be the solution, regardless, the long-term solution.
So it is. So I think you should never withdraw a patient and then just stop. I think you, at some point, you need to add preventive medication for people. And I think there will be new trials coming on also on the monoclonal antibodies with CGRP, where there will be large studies trying to show whether adding this kind of medication to the withdrawal, or not only the withdrawal itself, but maybe taper down the medication overuse, might be more helpful than just saying to people you have to stop the medication. And I think it's great that we're doing this kind of studies, because in the end, you want to do something which is best for the patients and make them have a nice life without having a tough time for weeks because you have to withdraw for the medication. So I think it's an important debate which is going on, and there is and it's also important that we collaborate in an international effort, and we're currently doing that to try what would be the best approach for the patients.
Interesting. Well, I'd love it. You know, you've certainly touched on this, but if you could actually walk me through, then if someone comes into your practice, you know, with MOH, maybe not on the right preventive yet, I'd like to know what we could expect, you know, when following a treatment plan for MOH. For instance, how long does it take potentially? You mentioned that you often go cold turkey with your patients. So how do you reduce the pain that you might experience along the way? Those types of questions, can you kind of walk us through that then?
We do our withdrawal program in an outpatient fashion. So we give a lot of attention discussing with our patient what is the cause of medication overuse headache, what's the cause of their migraine, how they experience the migraine, how they feel in or out of control of their migraine. So we have a headache nurse who guide them through this withdrawal process. And we notice actually that although patients are a little bit scared when they start doing this, and some of them are not scared at all, they just say, oh, it's very logical, I have to quit the medication, we see that they come stronger out of this withdrawal process. So, and I think that's extremely interesting also to see that patients said, I was so afraid to get a mild headache, and now I notice that sometimes this mild headache doesn't go into a full-blown migraine attack, but it just diminished after 1 hour, and I don't need this medication. I feel more in control of my own attacks. That's also a very powerful mechanism that's going on during this withdrawal process, and we see that very often in our patients. So with that, if we ask our patient, and we did that in our trial, we ask our patient, would you recommend this kind of cold turkey withdrawal process to your family or friends? Then 90% of the patients said, yes, I would recommend this. And in the end, on a scale of 1 to 10, how I experienced it, with 10 being excellent and 0 with it was horrible, I give it a 7 or 8. So I feel better in control of my attacks, and I know how to handle them more in the future. So I think that's a very strong psychological process that is going on in the brain. And we know that the brain is not only a neurological organ, but it's also a psychological organ. And that's what's so intriguing about chronification of migraine and medication overuse headache. At the same time, we do know that some of these patients are very reluctant to do that. And also we know that in the Netherlands, we have a very strong social network system where people are allowed to stay at home when they're in this withdrawal process. They don't have to go to work. But if you have to go to work each day, then it might be much more problem to acutely withdraw from this kind of medication. So there are also cultural aspects on whether people are able to do this withdrawal program or not. And that's, I think, internationally is a bit different. And that's why I think the other approaches where people start preventives and then say to patients, you should try to taper down your medication slowly, might be also a good approach. And that's why I think we should have more comparisons between these two approaches.
Oh, that's really interesting. So certainly work with your doctor to figure out what the best approach is for you, given your circumstances where you live. How long does it usually take, you know, for the patients that do go cold turkey? Is there, I'm sure, you know, varies by individual, but how long does that process typically take till you start to feel better?
Yeah, so we know from some studies and from clinical experience that the withdrawal headache itself for triptans is quite short, so it's only 1 or 2 weeks, and for painkillers it's much longer. And if you have taken opioids, when there is opioid overuse, it will take much more longer, and you cannot do that in an outpatient fashion, I would say. So actually, the first weeks are the first 2-3 weeks. I always warn my patients that that will be the most terrible weeks. After that, it will go up. And we often see that. So so normally I would say after 8 weeks, then you are completely withdrawn from your medication. And then I say the last month, so the last 4 weeks, is especially to look what is my natural frequency of my migraine. And we look at this last month of a 3-month period to see what's the natural frequency of my migraine currently, and is preventive medication needed? Because you sometimes we are surprised that people after these 8 weeks of withdrawal, the last 4 weeks, they don't have any migraine attacks at all. So you don't have to start preventive medication. And with that, it was shown that medication overuse headache was much more important than the migraine itself, which was the first cause of taking this medication.
You would certainly think if their migraine attacks were bad enough to start taking all this medication, then once they weaned themselves off, you know, that natural baseline would still be pretty bad, you know, but you're saying that you might even be better off than you were before. Is that right? Or
I sometimes see patients who are 60 or 70 years of age, and they've taken this medication for 10 years. So they have 10 years of medication overuse headache. And if you take out this medication, then it turned out that the migraine actually was already dissolved. Because we know from natural history studies that in many patients, luckily, after the age of 60, 65, the migraine diminishes and can even disappear. So I've often seen that in these elderly people, there's no headache at all after the withdrawal of the medication.
Wow, wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, yeah, that alone is worth kind of trying in case your migraine, like you said, has evolved to the point where it's not as severe or maybe gone, or that would be a great outcome, obviously. So for our viewers that are watching and wondering if they may have MOH, I'd like to talk about what the symptoms might be. In fact, Diane, one of our viewers, would like to know if the symptoms are different from chronic migraine.
Yeah, actually, that's a very good question of Diane. And I think she will probably see, if she have ever suffered from chronic migraine medication overuse headache, she will have noticed that it's quite difficult. If you wake up with a headache, you're not sure whether this headache will develop into a migraine or just stay as a mild headache. And that is actually the problem that migraine patients have. And that's why they take this pain medication or triptans, because there is also a lot of anxiety of developing a migraine attack and being too late. And you want to go to your work, so you don't want to miss your work or other social activities. So you're going to take the medication, and then you are ending up with asking yourself, "Ooh, would this have been a migraine attack, or would it have stayed with just a mild headache?" So I think it's quite difficult for patients to know whether the headache that they're experiencing, whether it's medication overuse headache or migraine. I think it's impossible to know. And the only way to get grip on this is to try to get rid of this medication overuse headache, and then look what kind of migraine is remaining. Is this still fulfilling chronic migraine, or is it episodic migraine? And how can I get grip on my migraine attacks?
Okay. Well, you touch on a very popular question that we received, and that is, how do we reconcile the guidance to treat at the first sign of migraine, but don't overuse acute medications? You know, is there effective spacing that we should use? You know, for instance, should we wait a couple of days between using triptans? But I'd love to know your thoughts on this for our viewers.
Yeah. So I think what we are using in our clinical practice now is what we call e-diaries. So electronic diaries, it's just an application. It's an app But it's not the common app that you can download from your from the App Store, but it's a tailored app that we use where people fill out all the characteristics about your headache. So you fill out whether you have a headache, was it unilateral, was it throbbing, did you have nausea, did you have to vomit, what kind of triptan did you take, was the triptan effective, did it recur your medication, and this and with that an algorithm is calculating whether your day was a migraine day or a headache day, and this is shown not only for the patient but also for the doctors at the hospital, so we can immediately see what's going on within the patient. And also the patient herself, he or she herself, can see how many medication did I take this month. And with that, I think that's extremely important to see what you filled out, to count the days on which you take medication. You can actually see whether you took a triptan and whether it was effective or whether it came back the next day. And one of the interesting things we discovered with by using this e-diary and doing our research is, for instance, that what women already told us is actually really true, that attacks surrounding the menstruation period, which we call that perimenstrual migraine attacks, are of longer duration, they're more severe. A triptan will work, but there will be a recurrence of the migraine attack. So there is a need of another intake the next day, and maybe thereafter also another day to have a triptan. And with that, you are more prone to medication overuse headache. So that's a great explanation why women are more prone for medication overuse headache. And now one of the things I think is very important for the future to get grip on your own attacks and on your headache is to use this kind of application both for the patient and for the doctors, and to see the same results as your treating physician, and discuss whether the intake of your medication was effective or not, whether you took it too early or too late, whether you have a recurrence, and what would be the approach to prevent that you take too much of this kind of medication. And with this, you can prevent developing medication overuse headache in the future. And I think that's extremely important.
Yeah, that brings me to another question we received from Jamie. And I mean, I think you just touched on this, but she asked, when taken properly, do triptans actually abort a migraine, or do they just mask the pain? She said her attacks last for multiple days, so when the pain returns after a day or two, she struggles to know if it's MOH or just the recurrence of the same migraine attack after the triptan has worn off. Is there any way to tell?
No, I think there's no way to tell. But I can tell you that in episodic migraine patients with no medication overuse, we can see the same pattern. And then you know, okay, my migraine is of longer duration because of my menstruation period, and it's logical that I have to take 3 or 4 days on each row a triptan. Whereas if you have a medication overuse headache, you're not sure what's going on anymore. And the only way you can get grip on this is to get rid of the medication overuse headache. I think that's the easiest and quickest answer to this kind of questions. But we should be aware that especially in women, a migraine attack can be of long duration. And with that, it's clear that the triptan itself, it doesn't resolve the entire migraine attack. Indeed, it treats the symptoms that are occurring the attack. And sometimes if you take it early, it seems to abort the whole cascade that is going on. But sometimes you're a bit too late and the cascade in your brain is already running. And one of the practical implications that in which you can see as a patient that this is actually the case is when you have a migraine attack, you start with sometimes with an aura, and then you get the headache phase. And with the headache phase, you have all these side symptoms like nausea, vomiting, photophobia, and phobia. But also when there is an activation of what I mentioned before, central sensitization. So other neurons are also and regions in the brain are activated. People experience this as what we call allodynia. And what's allodynia? People express that they have the feeling, for instance, when touching the head or when taking a shower or when wearing glasses or contact lenses or wearing a ponytail during a migraine attack, it's very painful. So touching the head is normally not painful, but during attack, it might become painful, and that's called allodynia. And when this process is going on, then we know that there is central sensitization of the brain. So there is activation of the whole brain, and on this mechanism, triptans do not work anymore. So if you can explain it to a patient, you know that you shouldn't take a triptan too early, because then it already faded out before the full-blown attack occurred. But most of the patients don't take triptans too early. If you take it too late, you are already in the allodynia phase with the central sensitization, and triptan doesn't work as well. So there's a small window where you have to decide as a patient, okay, I'm not too early and I'm not too late. Now I should take my triptan. And that's extremely difficult for some people to know this window.
I've actually never heard that before, that when allodynia sets in, it's almost too late to take the triptan. That's really interesting. So I think a big part of the answer here is, A, a lot of this might be trial and error, right, to figure out how it works for you. But then B, we also need still better treatments that are available to everyone that can keep us out of this. You know, one thing you did mention that made me think is, okay, so if we know we are a female that has a lot of problems with migraine attacks during our menstrual cycle, and it's going to go on for several days, well, then what do we do if we can't continue to take a triptan every day, you know, but it's a 5-6 day event we're dealing with? How do we handle that?
Yeah, so normally I advise my patient, if you don't take a triptan longer than, or other pain medication longer than 3 days on each row. So if you are still in a need of pain medication after 3 days of treatment, then nothing will work anymore, because then the central sensitization process is running and running in your brain, and you cannot work on that anymore. So you have to accept the attack. And what we often see is that when people stop after 3 days, the attack resolves more quickly than when taking the medication on day 4, 5, 6, and 7. Then this process is ongoing and ongoing and going. And then actually we think there is medication abuse headache going on, and not a trip and not the migraine attack itself. So that's why in practice I say to people, if you take medication not longer than 3 days on each row, and then you really have to stop, lie in your bed, just wait until the attack resolves.
Well, that's good motivation to have a stop, you know, at the end of that 3 day period. But I know for some, it can still be excruciating, you know, when you're still in so much pain.
Of course, I always say to my patient, this is a very easy advice for me to give, but it's really difficult and tough for you to do what I advise. So I understand if you're not able to do that at some time points, I completely understand, because it's really easy to say. But from a pathophysiological point of view, and also experiencing what people are telling us, I think this would be the best advice for patients.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Well, you know, one last question from a viewer that's, again, kind of related, I would believe, is Ellen asks, if you have daily headache anyway, why bother restricting acute medications if they do continue to bring relief?
If you have no problem with it, just do it. I don't mind. So I think it's up to a patient to decide what will be the best approach for him or her. So if you think you are only able to function taking this medication, and you're relieved from your migraine, and you accept taking these painkillers all day and a mild headache each day, but it's not a migraine, and you think this is the way I would like to approach my migraine, it's fine with me. I think it might be a very good approach. And sometimes patients come to my clinic and they say, I fully understand that I have medication overuse, but in order to function in life, I need this. And I say, okay, that's fine with me. But the problem is, some of these patients, even although they take this medication, they still suffer from very severe migraine attacks. And these migraine attacks, they just break through this wall of medication. And then there is no resolvement otherwise than to attack this medication overuse headache. But I fully accept that in some patients, it might be the best approach just to stick to your daily pain medication.
Interesting. Okay, so again, work with your doctor. But that brings me up to one of my last questions for you, and that is, you know, is MOH discussed very often in the doctor's office? I feel like it was never asked of me. I think a lot of patients don't discuss it with their physicians. If you have chronic migraines, should you be bringing this up with your physician?
Yeah, I think it's extremely important to bring it up with your physician. That's also why we, before people even come to our clinic, we ask them to fill out these questionnaires to know how many headache days do they have, how many migraine days do they have, what's their need for acute medication and how many days of acute medication are needed for them. Because people, it's really hard for people actually to remember the intake of each medication. So it's extremely important to monitor it first. And then we are very open to discuss it with our patient. But if your doctor doesn't discuss it with you, I think you should bring it up as a patient yourself. Because it's a huge problem, actually. And then you can decide what to do. That's a different thing. But first of course, you need to be sure with your doctor, what's your diagnosis? Is it only migraine or only tension type headache? Or is there also a secondary form with medication abuse headache? And should you tackle that both or not? That's, I think, extremely important.
And also just to mention, I think it's extremely important to bring up if you're just episodic, because we know that overusing medication is also such a large risk factor for becoming chronic, correct?
Yeah. So I have many patients who said to me, I've never heard that triptans were prescribed to me, and nobody said to me that I should be careful with the intake of the medication, that and that I would stick to at a maximum of 2 triptans per week, 2 days per week of treatment. Nobody explained it to me. Why didn't they explain it to me? And I think there are still general practitioners or physicians who are unaware of the risk of medication overuse headache, and we need to educate those doctors as well. Yeah.
Well, what are the first steps our viewers should take if they are watching this right now and they are concerned that they are in medication overuse, if they have medication overuse headache, what are some first steps they should take?
I would recommend not to start withdrawing yourself. That's the first recommendation I would do. So use a diary, whatever diary you want. You can have just a written diary. Just make look at the 1 month. How many headache days did you have? How many days did you experience migraine? How many days were you in need of taking acute medication? And then discuss it with the doctor first before you do any actions. And then it's important to discuss what would be the best personal approach for you as a patient to tackle this problem.
Great. I think also from what I've heard you say during our discussion, whether or not the migraine attack resolves after taking medication could also be a really big clue.
Yeah, sure.
Well, great. Any final thoughts for our viewers today?
No, I think what I find extremely important is the patient empowerment. I think that's extremely powerful. So I think we need to empower our own patients to be aware of the problem of medication overuse, but also have a shared decision making in what would be the best approach for these patients.
Great. Well, thank you for this very informative discussion. I know our viewers are going to appreciate it very much. Where can we learn more about you or follow the work that you're doing?
We are currently working on our website, but as you can, you might understand, it's most of our work is in Dutch, but we're currently working in the translation of our website. So I will show you the website later on, and there you can find more of our work. And also, if we publish, we try to do it in an open access publication, so it's accessible for also for patients to look at her work.
That's great. I know I was able to pull up several of your studies myself. Well, we'll definitely link your website below this interview. But thank you so much for joining us today on the Migraine World Summit.
Okay, you're welcome.